Welcome to Picayune Conversations. I am Lindsay.
I'm Calvin.
Or maybe it's the other way around. These are little conversations that we have about counseling, about psychotherapy, about culture.
Parenting questions.
Yeah, just human behavior, all kinds of fun things. So this is our second season, the first episode of our second season. What's going to be a little bit different about our second season, do you think?
I think we'll have more guests. Can we say guest stars?
Let's just call them stars.
Guest stars. We're going to go into more specific niche things that people ask us about, because we've gotten a whole list of things. Feel free to message us to give us more ideas. What else? What am I missing?
No, I think those are the main things. You know, certainly I think that we're going to try and broaden whose voices you hear on these conversations.
I think we also want to diversify who we're reaching too, so to make the theory more applicable and accessible.
Yeah, certainly this might get covered with some of our topical breadth. I think we're just going to try and get into some other thing. But basically, this is Lindsay and I. We just sit around and we talk sometimes, and then we think to ourselves, "My goodness,
we're brilliant."
Yeah, obviously, we're so smart. And I think that there's really helpful stuff that we end up talking about. And so it's time that we, you know, shared those things. So we had a lot of fun making season one. We hope that season two might be a little bit more, I don't know, we're going to try and be a little more professional, which doesn't mean stodgy.
I didn't agree to that.
No. I'm saying that we had an intro, you know, to today's episode. That's probably going to be the extent of professionalism that we increase. But, you know, whatever.
I got nervous. My heart actually started beating faster. I was like, I really didn't agree to
that. Okay, so for today, here's what we're going to talk about. What I'm going to do is I'm going to throw an idea out there, and then I want you to kind of tell me what you think about it, and then we'll just have a conversation about this idea.
Okay.
Right. So here is the idea.
Better be good.
Well, who knows? It's your choice what you think about it. But here's the idea.
I'm ready.
Feelings or emotions are not demands. What do you think about that?
Feelings are not demands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I clarify?
Sure.
And hopefully I'm not the only one out there that might need it. You mean like if I'm feeling a certain way, for example, I can't make demands on others?
Yeah.
Like for accommodation.
Yeah, give an example.
Like, let's say I'm worried about someone cheating on me.
Okay.
I'm feeling really anxious about that, and they're about to go out of town on a business trip. I don't want them to go on the business trip because there's going to be other people there that are sexy and available.
Okay.
And I think my husband should stay home.
Okay, so you're saying...
Would that be an example? I'm asking.
To me, that makes some sense, you know, that it's like, okay, you're anxious, and I think it's unreasonable to ask people not to feel what they feel. Maybe we could look at patterns that, you know, of behaving or thinking or being that would lend themselves to certain feelings, and we can maybe help people feel things a little bit less frequently or make feelings a little bit less useful to people. But at the end of the day, if you feel anxious, it's not because you thought to yourself, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to be anxious right now. You know, it's just like you just feel what you feel. And so, okay, you feel anxious, and there's no real trouble with that.
Yeah,
if you're anxious about your, hypothetical husband cheating on you on a business trip, fair enough. But then where folks tend to make a mistake is that they think, well, I feel this, and therefore you must do X. You must
accommodate me.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about accommodation, because we certainly want people to be responsive, you know, to, let's say, a partner's feelings. Yeah, we want people to be responsive, but can you make the distinction between a response and an accommodation? Like, what do you mean when you say accommodation?
That at the expense of I feel like a demand is you asking someone to do something that is primarily your task, and it is at their expense.
Oh, now you got to say a little bit more about your task.
Oh, God. He knows I've got the ADHD, so remembering exactly what I just said. So you repeat to me what I said.
you're asking somebody else to do something that's your task.
Your task, yes. So especially in you know, the eyes of the Adlerian theory, like, we are supposed to be personally responsible for our own feelings, our own actions. Yes, as I tell my clients, like, you can have, like, people influence us. I like to call it, like, incoming data. Like, it's not bad, but you need to decide, like, what you do with yourself and how whatever meaning you make, it needs to be not what can this person do for me, but what can I do for them to enhance this relationship. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So, in essence, right, let's say you're anxious.
So anxious.
About this business trip, this hypothetical business trip. Okay, that anxiety, it belongs to you.
It does.
Yeah, and it's yours to manage. Now, it's not to say that nobody else can be involved. We're not talking about people being like an island,
right,
where, you know, it doesn't matter at all ever what people do, and we're just going to be, you know, kind of schizoid in our relationship to other people. We're just not going to be affected at all. I think that is a...
It's depressing.
It's depressing. and honestly, that also is not particularly healthy.
No.
But...
I want to be influenced by others.
Right, yeah. But there's this thing of like, all right, but this anxiety, it belongs to you. Mm-hmm. And it is not somebody else's to manage. Now, you might be able to ask... But there's also a difference between a request and a demand. And maybe I could talk a little bit about that. It's not unreasonable to say, hey, look, I'm anxious about this, and this is what I would like for you to do. What do you think? That's making a request, which is a very natural part of a relationship. But a demand is something that says, but you have to. Because I feel this way, you have to. First of all, it's not true in any kind of objective sense. Like, I really don't have to do anything simply because you feel something. I don't. Now, maybe I should, maybe I could, but I don't have to.
No.
Yeah.
That's not the mutual respect.
That's definitely not.
I've been waiting the whole 10 minutes.
People don't know this inside jokes. And
well, go ahead.
Lindsay likes to say that's the mutual respect all the time as an explanation for anything. You know, if you get stung by get a mosquito bite and it itches, she's like, that's the mutual respect.
Okay,
I'm being hyperbolic on purpose.
I might do that, though.
So here's the thing, though. I we're kind of talking about this as, you know, feelings are not demands within the context of a relationship between two people. But I also think this applies internally. That feelings are not demands on, like, if I have a feeling, that's not a demand on my behavior.
Like, if I'm feeling murdery and you're pissing me off?
Okay, exactly. So, like, people say this all the time, right? Like, well, I yelled because I was angry.
Yeah.
And in one sense, that's true. Okay, yeah. It's like, yeah, yelling is an understandable behavior. But it's not the only behavior that someone can engage in if they're angry. If I'm angry, there are a very... large number of things that I could do with that anger. And yelling is only one of them. And so if I feel anger internally, that doesn't mean that I have to yell. It doesn't mean that if I'm feeling overwhelmed, I don't have to shut down. If I am feeling, depressed, I don't have to stay in bed all day. Those are very, just be clear, those are very understandable responses and things that I would have a great deal of compassion on. But it's almost like people, and this is me and you too, I mean, we do this, but there's this idea of like, well, I feel this and therefore this must happen. And I think it's an encouraging, although also a challenging thing to see that is actually not true. You know, our feelings, they're valid, they're real. It's not that we should think of feelings as being, you know, pathological or healthy or somewhat. It's just the feelings just are. But then there's what we do with those feelings. And when we have the idea that there's only one thing to do with a feeling, whether that's in relationship with somebody else or even in relationship to ourselves, we have really discouraged ourselves. And we've also, to some degree, shirked responsibility for our own behavior, right? It's like,
Absolutely. Well,
there's nothing else that I possibly could have done, so I can't really be held responsible for engaging in this behavior.
It's like, what a trap. You just, like, give away all your freedom when you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of just being like, I feel anxious, let me stop and get curious about that, because it probably has a purpose, you know, and I need to address those insecurities and those things and figure out why I'm feeling that way and then what to do with it. how I can use it to contribute to the relationship.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we do need to talk a little bit about how widespread this, and it's not that somebody would stand on a street corner, you know, with a sign that says, you know, feelings are demands or something like that, but we act as if feelings are demands a lot. We do that. And again, you and me too, you know, yeah. we're by no means perfect in this regard, but the implications of this are very significant, certainly within relationships, but I feel like I see this all the time in my office. What kinds of situations, you know, where do you see this showing up in your conversations with clients or other people or in yourself?
Well, my first thought was trauma, like sexual assaults and things, you know, like people feel as if a certain way, you know, just because I'm horny or I feel turned on or I feel that you turned me on, I deserve X, Y, and Z from you. Oh, or because you said yes once, even though you're saying no now, I'm entitled.
Yeah.
It goes back to entitlement, I think, a little bit too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem that's a really fascinating example. It's like you think about all the you know, like, well, but what was she wearing kinds of questions that happen after a sexual assault. And in essence, that's playing this same thing out, right? Mm-hmm. Is to say, well, if she wears those clothes, then, you know, some heterosexual male is going to look at her and be sexually aroused. And then what else is he supposed to do with the sexual arousal? You know, as if nobody has any choice about what to do with their sexual arousal, which is such a myth. You know, there's so many things that you can do with that.
Yeah, he or she doesn't have to just accommodate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, precisely.
Don't do that.
I certainly see this in relationships where there is just kind of a quiet dynamic of control.
Ooh, same way.
And it's, I know there might be kind of extreme examples of this, but, you know, when people, you know, they will say things like, well, that's a trigger for me or something, meaning when you do that, it upsets me. And listen, fair enough. Okay. Again, it's not that the feeling itself is invalid, but then there's this idea of like, well, when you're displeased with me, that triggers something in me, and I feel terrible, and therefore you can't be displeased with me, or you have to keep it completely to yourself. You're not allowed to be upset with me or to be displeased, and that is wildly controlling behavior,
yeah.
Right? It's this policing. So it's saying only my feelings are so much more important than yours, and here's how we know. If I feel a certain way, your feelings cease to matter. They don't count anymore. You being upset or hurt by my behavior, okay, except that when you express that to me, that upsets me, that triggers me, that pokes on all my trauma. And so now you're not allowed to be upset with me anymore, or you're a toxic partner or something, you know, along these lines.
What a clever way to avoid the challenges of life.
Yeah, it's I want to go back to something I said early, which is that I don't think that it is unreasonable to expect a partner to be responsive to how we feel. I think that is...
That's how you connect.
Yeah, that's very reasonable.
You got to connect before you correct.
But there's like, let's go back to your hypothetical example of someone who's anxious about, you know, being cheated on this business trip or something, okay? All right, so a demand would say, well, you can't go. You know, you can't go. To be responsive would not be to say, okay, I won't go. But to be responsive would be to say, oh my goodness, I see how scared you are. Let me listen to you. Talk to me about how you feel. Okay, that sounds terrible. I really care. And here's what I'm willing to do about it. I'm going to go on the trip. But I'd be more than happy to give you a call quite regularly. This is what I could commit to. I could commit to calling you, you know, this number of times a day.
I'm already feeling better in my hypothetical anxiety.
Yeah, because, right, we think that what we need is accommodation when we're feeling yucky. And really what we need, to some degree, we don't need to be pampered, but we do need to know that somebody cares.
Yeah, we don't need somebody to do our tasks for us. That's disrespectful to yourself and to them. Like, you can handle it. You're capable.
Yeah.
Just be in it. Have the courage to stay in it with someone.
And there's this not so tricky although slightly tricky, there's this little balance, right, of being responsive without taking over somebody's task. Right. Right?
Which is so respectful.
Yeah. Of,
so respectful.
Of being really caring, where you're communicating, oh, it does matter to me that you are feeling as awful as you're feeling.
This is hard, and that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't have to take ownership over your feeling and curate your whole emotional experience of life. Here's what I can do to maybe help. To help is not to take responsibility.
No, it's to contribute.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and obviously this would apply also with just kind of internal dynamics. I'm even thinking of some systemic things. You know, we think about, let's say, police violence. You know, they say, well, I felt threatened, and so I had no choice but to use my service weapon. And then culturally, we're just kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, that makes sense. That is bonkers to me. I felt this way, and therefore I had to. These are things that we need to just be aware that there's a big quantum leap that we're making there, and take responsibility for that. You know, if you're going to make the quantum leap, make it, but you take responsibility and recognize that, yeah, that is what that is. I'm making this leap.
And maybe if you want to do something different, a little tiny jump would be just stop and get curious. Mm. Like, don't just impulsively go on that first instinctual thought. Let yourself have a second round of thinking.
Ooh, they probably need to listen to that episode from last season. First thought, second thought. Yeah.
Yeah, callback.
Hey-o. I don't remember the episode name or number, but it's you could intuit it from the episode title. I feel confident.
Or message us and we'll find it for
that
you.
That too. Yeah. That too.
We will accommodate you.
That's right. What loose ends do we need to tie up tonight?
Don't know. Nothing. I think we're good. I think we did a good job.
Okay. Well, please send us your questions if you have some follow-up questions. I know that some of this conversation is a little bit nuanced. That's good. That means we're delving into the right places and we're not just, you know, telling you stuff that you already know. But send us some questions if any of this is confusing. We look forward to having you as a guest for our next episode.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Bye now.